So today we're starting a short series on parenting and family life and parenting and what that means. And I just want to share a couple things before we dive in. We're all on different journeys here this morning. Some of us have kids, some of us don't have children, some of us have older children, some of us have little ones. However, we're all parents to a certain degree, and you have parents as well, you've had parents. And so I want you to really be able to engage in this series and not just think, well, my kids are older, therefore I don't have anything to say. This is a conversation for all of us as we equip and understand what it means to be a parent as well. And recognizing full well that the world we live in, the things that are going on around us are influencing our kids, including the choices we make as parents. And so hopefully, at the end of this series, you will be encouraged, that you'll be challenged as well, and be able to fully understand at least more what it means to raise up our children. Whether they're young, in the middle, or even older, there's always lessons for us to learn as we dive into this. And I want to be sensitive as well. I know there are folks that have been trying to have kids who have struggled having children as well, and it's not an easy conversation, so we want to be sensitive to that, and we want to continue to pray and encourage you and for folks that are just going through different seasons of life as well. Now, I've been a parent for my oldest daughter, will be 14 soon, and my youngest is turning 12 soon, and you can see when I was a parent, before I was a parent, there's a picture of me that you'll see, you know, young and vibrant, you know, handsome-looking man, would you agree? You know, smiling, you know, feeling good about things, and being a parent, you know, sometimes it has its challenges, and like I said, it's been almost 14 years, which isn't very long. I fully understand that. There are many of you that have been parents much longer than I have been, and since being a parent, things have changed a little bit for me. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's difficult at times, isn't it? So, that is a terrible picture. But anyways, I don't actually look like that. It's just an app that helps you take a picture of you and makes you look older. And so, kids are a blessing, and we're going to get into that in a minute here. John Wilmot, the Earl of Rochester, said, "Before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories." Being a parent is an unbelievable blessing. Absolutely. However, it's also very, very challenging. And I would suggest one of the most challenging things we will do in this life. And for those of you who have been in the battle, fully understand that. And I want to encourage you as well. And I don't think there's another endeavor in this world that I can think of at this moment that will exhaust us so much, that will take every resource, every piece of patience we have, but at the same time will bless us at the same time, to allow us to be a blessing to our kids as they are a blessing to us as well. Someone asked once, a mother of three, she had some wild preschoolers and she had a few children, and somebody asked her whether or not she would have children again and do it all over again. And she simply said, "I would, but just not the same three kids." So again, sometimes we can look at our kids and we wonder, oh, maybe I could trade them in, or maybe get a different model, or you compare ourselves to other parents and their families, and we look at these families and we think, wow, I wish we had it together like they do. And there's many television shows that portray the perfect family. The Brady Bunch was one of them from back in the day, if you remember that, back in the 70s and early 80s, and they had a portrayal. They want the perfect family, but they struggle just like everyone else. But we sometimes have this concept in this world that we live in that our families have to look a certain way. And I think that even has penetrated itself into the church, that we have to have this tendency to look the part, to have it all together, to have all the answers, to have complete control of what's going on in our family. Now, the scriptures tell us that we should be able to guide our family and have our household being led in a worthy manner. And yet, as we think about that too, that it's not easy. Absolutely not. And I can relate to that fully. And I know many of you can as well. Now, being a parent for me, like I said, I've been a parent for 14 years now. But I first become a parent, and this might surprise many of you, and I hope there's much grace in this. I first became a parent when I was in grade 8. A matter of fact, my first child was an egg. That's right, an egg. Now, you're probably wondering, what am I talking about? Now, maybe you went through this exercise back in the day as a kid when you're in school. They would give you an egg, and that egg would be your child. Who's done that before? Only a few of you. Okay, well, this is in Vancouver. This is part of our experience of what it means to bring up a child. So I remember in grade 8, our teacher would give me an egg and all of us an egg, and this egg would be our child for 2 weeks. So we take this egg, it was a normal egg, it wasn't hard-boiled, so it could break at any time. And so there's a few rules to the egg that you had. Okay, you had to name the egg, and you had to have the opportunity to take care of that egg, and you actually got paired up with somebody else. So you're actually like a parent with a mother and father, and your goal was to look after this egg for 2 weeks and treat it like it was your child. And we had to care for this egg, we had to nurture this egg, we had to give it a name, like I said, and we had to make sure if we were going out somewhere, the egg would be left with a responsible babysitter. And there's a few rules as well. And the biggest rule, of course, with this egg was this: don't break the egg. Because if you broke the egg, you failed the class. And it's very simple, I know, but I remember when we did this exercise, we made fun of it quite a bit, and we didn't take it that seriously because it was an egg. I was in grade 8. And we just had fun with it. And now when I look back, and being as a parent now, especially a Christian parent, that we need to take parenting seriously, that we need to be equipped when it comes to becoming parents as well. And the scriptures are a big part of that, a big part of how we raise up our kids in a way that is biblical, that we have a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview, that we take the scriptures and make that a part of our life, that it's an important part of what we do with our children. But as we understand this as well, the world we live in is very challenging, and there's lots of things we go through. And I know that as we go through these things, that we understand this, that parenting is not easy. And I think we can all say amen to that. And perhaps you've come here this morning, or if you remember this back in the day when you were perhaps single, and you didn't have any kids, and you would look around at other parents and watch them bring up their kids, and you would say something like, oh, if I was their parent, I would have done it this way. Or I would have done it differently than what they're doing. I've done that. When I was single, I'd watch friends with their kids, and I would say, well, I'll never do things like that. And even for my own parents bringing us up, I wanted to make sure I did not want to bring up my kids the way my parents brought me up. Now, my parents weren't perfect, but they did things that I would never do to my own children. And so I've learned a lot through that. And as we think about that, becoming a parent, perhaps some of us said, was easier back in the day for older folks as well that have older kids. And maybe that is the case. Our kids are facing a lot more challenging things, I think, this day and age than perhaps a few years ago. But the challenges are still the same, that we still need to bring up our kids in such a way and journey with our kids as they're older in a way that honors Christ, that honors the scriptures as well. And there's been many research and many surveys taken that parenting these days seems to be harder than it was back in the day. Now, that's all context and different for each one of us. Psalm 127:3 says this: children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. So when we think about this context of the scripture, the Hebrew word here for this term is nachshlach and sakar, which simply means something valuable. So we understand this, that children are valuable. And the scriptures tell us that. And we need to be reminded of that as well, that as we think about our kids and how valuable they are and how it's important for us to invest in them and to consider them a blessing. Because sometimes we can, as parents, look at our children that in a different light, and we don't always consider them a blessing. The blessing isn't based upon how perfect they live or their behavior. The blessing is that we are parents. And we should consider that as well. And it's a reward for us to have children, to consider that too. In Genesis 30, verse 2, Jacob referred to the children there as the fruit of the womb. And when Leah gave birth to her fifth son, she called him Issachar, which simply means a reward, that there was a reward for her. And when she gave birth to the sixth son, she said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. So as we can see here that children are a blessing. And even Jesus himself, he talked about the importance of how we treat children. And he says in Matthew 19, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. So we recognize that the scriptures tell us that parents play a huge role and kids are important, that they matter and they are a blessing. and they are a joy. It doesn't mean it's going to be like that every single day. There's going to be difficult days. But we recognize and we start there to remind us that our children are a blessing. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So that's a proverb we see here. And proverbs are not direct promises. Let's remember that. They are general observations of life that are generally typically true, and we can learn a lot from the proverbs. And we look at the wording here. This is literally implying that when we train our children in the ways of the Lord, they're less likely to deviate away from the Lord and the plans that he has for them. Now, when we see this proverb here, this is from Solomon who shared this proverb, and we understand this again. This is not an ironclad promise that as you invest in our kids and as we invest in each other that way as well, that our children are going to take the right path every single time. We recognize that as well. But despite that, for us, that we will do our best to lead them in the way of the Lord. And how important that is for every single one of us to consider that when we invest in our children at a young age, they will prayerfully consider following the Lord for the rest of their lives. So as they get older, they will not depart from what they have learned as children. That would be imparted in their hearts, and that would be something that they follow for the rest of their lives as well. So when we think about our children, and Proverbs 5 says this as well, "In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but for those who persevere, their life stay far from them." So understand this, when we invest and train up our children, and when things come into their life that challenge them, that perhaps cause them to go off the path, that they can fall back on the promises of Scripture, but also the investment in the lessons we've given our kids. That they would see that our heart was for them, that our heart was for them to continue to follow Christ in all the things that are going on. So when we think about training our children, and Proverbs 22, verses 1 to 16 as well, just so you're aware, is a great spot to lean into and to look for other things too, about how to live our lives, how to honor finances, how to live purely, and there's so many things in there as well, so just consider that for later on. But when we think about training our children, what does that mean for each one of us? And just like with any sort of training, it takes repetition, it takes reinforcement in a positive way, it takes encouragement. And sometimes we're going to have to do something over and over and over again with children and our young adult kids as well. How many times have you faced a situation with your kids where you're continually hammering home the same detail over and over again and you're wondering, is it actually getting through? And we do that with adults as well. And we often have to dive into that and repeat things over and over again. And sometimes as children are at different places in their life, there's developmental things they're going through. And so they may not grasp a lesson right away. But it's a reminder that we have to mold them in a way that honors where they are in their age. Sometimes for me as a dad, I can expect a lot from my kids by understanding where they are fully developed, but they're not. And they're still understanding things. So there's a sense of patience as well. So training implies a couple of things for us. Character development is so important. How well are we doing when it comes to developing our kids' character? And spending time with that and investing in that and talking about it. And also, what are we doing in terms of investing in those things of the kingdom? What are we teaching them about that? What does it mean for them to honor Jesus and the kingdom? To live in such a way. And character is a huge part of that. Abraham Lincoln said, "Character is like a tree and a reputation like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, and the tree is the real thing." Now, reputation is what others think of me, and which may or not be true. We understand that as well. But character, and this includes our kids, that will tell us who we actually really are, what we're actually really made of. You know, our character is the real us in many ways. It separates us from who we are and what we do. And to understand that our character needs to be molded in the eyes of Christ as he molds us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we understand this, no one has a perfect heart. Let's be clear about that. None of us does. And we all struggle through different things. The question isn't about being perfect as parents. The question is about, are we investing? Are we deliberate when it comes to training up our children and us as parents living with character as well? What does that look like for us? King David is a great example. He was well known for what? His valiant exploits in Scripture, defeating the giant Goliath, as we know. But we also need to remind him of the other part of his story. He had profound sin in his life. His adultery with Bathsheba. And that's what he did. But like King Saul, David again had this serious issues with lust and adultery and deceit and manipulation. Murder, covering it up, pride and hypocrisy. And what do they say in Scripture about David? A man after God's own heart. And yet when you think about that, how do you reconcile, well, a man who committed all these sins, and yet he was still a man after God's own heart. And how can that be? Well, what's interesting about that when you think about that, see, David wasn't perfect, and none of us are. But the thing about David, which is such an encouragement for every single one of us, especially as parents, that he had a repentful heart. Psalm 51:10 says this, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." See, he recognized his sin, and he made it right. And that tells me that this man, David, not being perfect, was a man of character. That he saw his sin. And I think as parents, sometimes we have this tendency to not look at our own hearts. And I say parents, but for all of us as human beings, that we don't always look at our own hearts, what's going on, and perhaps asking that hard question, how is our character? What's really going on inside of us? What are the choices we are making that do not set a godly example? We often talk out of both ends of our mouth. See, we can't expect our children, no matter where they are on the spectrum of age, to follow what we're encouraging them to do if we ourselves, and this is the look in the mirror part now, that we ourselves are not doing it ourselves, that we are not men and women of character, that we're expecting our children to live a certain way, but we ourselves are not living that at all. Understanding, again, we are not perfect. There's lots of grace. But when we are living in such a way that we're trying to train up our children and help them to understand the ways of the Lord, but we ourselves are not doing that. The kids see that. There's a disconnect. And they look at us as hypocrites. They may not say that to us directly, but they look at us and go, well, you're telling me to follow Jesus. You're telling me to follow the Scriptures. You're telling me to go to church and be in community. You're telling me to make godly choices, but you yourself are not doing any of that. And our kids can often see that. And I think it's important for us to understand, if we're going to talk about parenting, we have to start with ourselves. We have to look at our own hearts and where it begins. And that includes myself as well. This idea, this imperative of training, again, is this idea that we are dedicated to a purpose, that we have this in mind. And the way this verse is translated is that it's a standard of life that we raise up our kids this way, in the ways of the Lord. And that's why character absolutely matters. Because when our kids are trained in the Scriptures in the way of God young, and they see us as parents, as best as we can, with grace and mercy, that we're trying to honor the Lord, they will most likely not depart from Jesus when they get older. Because they see that even in our humanity, we are covered with grace. But we are not trying to force them to do something we ourselves aren't willing to do. And it's a hard thing to consider, I understand that. But our character matters. So let me ask you a question this morning. What are we doing in our own hearts that we know is completely contradictory to what we're expecting our kids to do? And they see that. And they're catching a glimpse of that. Now, you may not reap the negative consequences of that today, but you will one day. Especially if your kids are young. Because one day, and I'm going to allude to this next week a little more in detail, they will turn back and say, because of the way you represented Christ, now it's not a blame game, I understand that, but we play a big part of this, I've walked away from the faith. because of the inconsistency I saw. And I'm going to talk more about that next week and the imperative of that. And I know as parents, it's hard to hear that. But this series is not for us to be comfortable. It's for us to be encouraged and challenged as well, that we can sharpen each other and be encouraged as well. 2 Timothy says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. This is Paul talking to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and is your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So Timothy's mother and grandmother both loved God, and they raised Timothy to do that as well. And that was his inheritance. That was a blessing that he had. Now, Timothy joined the Apostle Paul as a missionary. He was a young man, but he ended up becoming one of Paul's most trusted companions. And what's interesting, the New Testament mentions Timothy by name 25 times as a missionary to the apostle, and Timothy himself as a pastor. Timothy had this child rearing as a young man, where the scriptures were important, where he was raised in a godly home. The scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy 3 that he was taught scriptures at a young age. At a young age. And see how it's so important for us to start when they're young as we consider that. And we continue to read the scripture in 2 Timothy 3 verses 10 to 16. It says this. And again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things have happened to me in Antioch and Listeria, the persecutions I have endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. You know what's beautiful about this? This scripture here, Paul is sharing the reality of what it means to follow Christ. He is sharing in there the persecutions, the hardships of what it means to follow Jesus. And I think for us as parents, we have to be aware of that too, to let our kids know that it's not easy to follow Christ. And we have to share that it's going to be difficult, that we're going to face hardship. And again, Paul is saying this to this young man. This is what has happened to me. Expect the same. Especially, he was telling Timothy as well to stay true to the doctrines of the scripture, to not compromise when false teachers come. So let's remind ourselves as well that we can't just take the good parts of scripture and forget the hard things that are there. I know families have a tendency to skip over the challenging things of the word, and they only show the grace of God. But they don't show the story, the full story. And there's a lot there. We continue to read. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, but as you continue in what you've learned and what have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, Paul here again is saying, stay close to the word. Paul isn't saying, stay close to me. He's saying, stay close to the source of the scripture, which we continue to read, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul is telling Timothy this, and he's telling us the same thing. Where does scripture come from? The nostril of God. God breathed. So we need to understand the Bible is still relevant today, amen? And do not let the world rob you of that. Do not let other Christians rob you that the word is not good. The word is good. It is God-breathed. And it tells us here we need to use it for the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness for us and for our children, for our young adults in our life as well. We need God's word. And then we also need to be examples of his counsel and his love and his grace and his humility to show our kids that we are in this with him as well. And we should not take any of this lightly at all. Absolutely not. See, parenting is scary. It's a huge responsibility. Whether you're a parent today or not, it's a daunting task. And when I think about the influence I have over my children, my wife included, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it keeps me up at night when I think about leading my children spiritually and how well I am even doing. Because I want my kids to see the truth of who Christ is, and I often tell them, don't focus on me because I'll let you down, and I have. But my heart is always the best for my children. I think that's your heart as well. But we have to be honest as well in our struggle. See, parenting is hard, but again, because of God's grace, the scriptures are sufficient. The Holy Spirit is sufficient. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can become more like Jesus, every single one of us. But we have to start with looking inward first. And what are we doing that perhaps is causing our children, and they may not say this to us today, that perhaps we're setting it up for failure down the road because we ourselves are not women and men of character. That we are not those folks. Now there's grace, like I said. So a couple things to consider. How are you leading by example? That's how we start. We lead by example. We teach them to have, again, a biblical worldview of what's happening in this world. We teach them how to love by loving them unconditionally, as best as we can. That we don't hold grudges, that we don't hold mistakes against them, but we teach them and we help them to learn and grow in it. It doesn't mean we don't discipline our children, because we do. But we need to be able to do that. We share our faith. We share the scriptures with them. We pray with our kids. That we sit and we pray with our children, our young adult children. Whether they're living here locally or not, you pray for them over the phone. You pray for them over Zoom calls, whatever it takes. And I think it's really important as well that we be real. We absolutely be real in our faith. That we be consistent in that. That we remind them that we are stumbling towards heaven every day together. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to share every nook and cranny of our life with our kids. There's obviously some wisdom in our boundaries we use. But if we've blown it, and we all have, and our kids know we've blown it, but we pretend we haven't blown it, we need to honor that and show some humility. I think that's a good thing. I really, really do. Because now we're setting up our children in such a way that they can see that we can talk about the struggles of our life. That we can talk about some of the challenges we face in our spiritual life as well. Friday, we were in Thornhill, which is a town a couple hours away from here. We're at a basketball tournament for Friday. And the girls' team played yesterday in Nearlandia. And we were there. We got home last night around 10 o'clock, and it was a long day. It was a good day. And we had a long break between games. And I was having a conversation with a parent yesterday, a long conversation just about parenting. What does it mean to be a parent? What does it mean to a godly parent? What does it mean to come to our children and encourage them? What does it mean for us as parents when we stumble and don't make the best choices? What does it mean to live with a legalistic approach to our kids versus living in the Spirit? We just had a really good conversation. And I was reminded that as this person shared about some of the challenges they're having as a family, that every single one of us has had those challenges. And we can't hide from the fact that those challenges are real. But we're here to remind us today that God can give us the grace and the mercy and the wisdom we need to be equipped for every good work. So how does our belief and how we live line up to how we're living? See, as Christ followers, Jesus is our ultimate target for every single one of us, including our kids. That we should be pointing them to Jesus. And then when they look to us, they will be able to look to us in such a way to know that we are not perfect, but we're still trying to make godly choices to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. How well are you doing that today? How well do your kids see that in your life? Now, as we think about being a parent today, it is challenging. There's lots of things going on, and I fully understand that. And I've repeated this, but I'm going to say it again. And here's a quote that might help us. Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he says this: I can't hear what you're saying because what you speak so loud. Essentially, what he's essentially saying is here, we may talk the talk about Jesus, integrity, and character, but because of our choices, it's so deafening that nobody can hear us because those two worlds are not lining up. It's a complete contradiction. Where are we at today? See, this is an important conversation to have because we need to understand there's so much at stake. There is so much at stake, friends. Absolutely. And as hard as it is, as uncomfortable as it is for us to look at our own hearts as adults, we have to. We absolutely need to. Because that will just plant even more amazing seeds for the kingdom in our kids' lives. So as we think about families, we think about the challenges we face every single day. And there's been lots of conversations about things that parents and families face today. And I'm going to give you a quick list about some things that I think, as families face today. And this list is probably true from back in the day as well. Maybe some changes a little bit. And this is not an exhaustive list. But in the conversations I've had with families over the years of ministry, these are things that stick out as well. And this is part of a research project that came together with Lifeway Research as well. And this is what they found. That was some stumbling blocks for a lot of families today, Christian families. The balance of work and family. That mom and dad are working, and that's okay. That's all good. But there's so much busyness of work that family seems to be a backseat. People aren't having meals together like they used to. How that dinner table was such an important time for many people. Many families are facing that challenge today. Parents are coming home tired. They're exhausted. They don't have the resources to be able to invest in their children. That's a reality for us today. And if that's you today, we just need to encourage one another to figure out how we can perhaps sharpen that up. The media itself. Now you can go on about the socials out there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I can go on and on, YouTube. The media plays a huge role in what we are exposing our children to. It includes the things we watch and how we become so desensitized to what's out there and that anything passes for entertainment now. And we're okay with that. Lack of communication. Again, this is stuff you know, but just a reminder for every single one of us. Our cell phones have taken over. Our smartphones, which has made us dumber and dumber each day. The internet, our gaming systems. These are not substitutes for relationship. But that's what's going on. Financial pressures. There's so much of that. People are facing financial pressure. The lack of discipline in our kids' lives. That we teach them the ways of the Lord. That we hold them accountable with love and grace. How well do we do that? But that's a challenge for many families. This idea of having a father figure. There are many broken families that don't have a father around. And research has shown year after year after year after year that kids that do not have a father figure in their life end up making worse choices than their counterparts who have a parent or a father in their life. How well are we leading as spiritual examples to our kids as fathers? We play a huge role in this. And we serve with humility. We serve our children. We help them understand to follow our Heavenly Father. How well are we doing it ourselves as fathers? Busyness. Satan uses our schedules against us. I know so many families that are so busy with extracurricular activities. And those things are good. But there seems such an imbalance. And one day, we'll recognize the importance of how our busyness is killing us. It's true for all of us. So let's look at our schedules. Divorce. It's on the increase among many Christian families. It has infiltrated the church. And that's wrecking and destroying families. And last one, and this has been true for many years, but it seems like the heat has been ratcheted up even more so. There's this anti-Christian culture out there. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying that we're getting persecuted every single minute of our day, but let me tell you this. It is getting real. I can tell you story after story and the things that are going on in this world we live in our province, in this country, that the gospel has been completely written off. That there is an anti-Christian sentiment out there. And that is impacting our kids. And when they see the anti-Christian sentiment and they see us as parents disconnected from the gospel and living a life that is consistent with character, now our kids are even more confused because now they're going to lean into the world even more so and perhaps wave that banner themselves of this anti-Christianity. Why not? I don't see it in my own family. So these are some of the pressures, and this is not an exhaustive list. But I want to remind you this. When you hear that, I hope you're not completely discouraged because there is an answer to all of this. We know it's Jesus. We know it's the scriptures. We know it's choices we're going to have to make. And perhaps we have to ask ourselves these questions as well as we consider trying to invest in our kids, no matter where they are in the spectrum, of having a high-quality relationship with our children. What are we doing to invest in that? What are we doing to help that relationship grow? Perhaps we need to tweak our relationship with our kids. Perhaps we need to, I dare you to do this because I've done this and it's humiliating to a certain degree, but it's good. Ask your kids. I don't care where they are on the spectrum, because if your kids are older and married, you still have influence on your children. They're still watching you as parents. And now some of your kids are younger, they may not get this question, but I want you to ask your kids one day, maybe today, over lunch, maybe this week, sit them down, and ask your kids this question. How am I as a parent? How well do I display Jesus? How well do I live my life with integrity and character? Now, obviously, you're going to have to unpack some of those words. See, I've done that with my kids. It wasn't easy, but I've done that. And when you give your kids a reason to tell you how bad of a parent you are, mercy. But my kids showed me lots of grace. But they gave me a few pointers. Ouch. But I listened. And I continue to listen today. Because I think it's really important that we ask our kids these questions, because if we don't ask them now, when are we going to ask them? Because by then it might be too late. And we've recognized that we have not invested the way we should. And some of the answers you might receive, and kids, if you're watching or listening, or you're going to do this to your parents, if you're older, be gracious. Be gracious. Show respect. But have that conversation. I think it's so important because I think as parents, we think we know everything. And sometimes in our arrogance and our pride, we're afraid to ask our kids what we've done wrong and what can we do better. But I really hope you're able to do that. I hope you're able to do that. And then you go back to the scriptures and we look at what it's used for. As we read in Timothy. And here's the beautiful thing as well, and here's what I want to really encourage you with too. And I say this often from up here, and I fully mean that when I say it, and I even mean it more when it comes to parenting. We are not in this alone. We have to have, I believe fully, that we have a village mentality when it comes to our kids. Amen? I hope you think that. Because we in the church, as Christ followers, are not going to be able to raise our children purely on our own. We have family, we have friends that are godly, that can influence our children. That we should allow others to come, that we trust to invest in our kids, to spend time with our kids, to talk about the things of God, to have fun with our kids, to nurture those relationships. But I think sometimes in our families, we become so insecure and so protective of our own family, we haven't allowed others to come in. Outside of, you know, grandmas and grandpas, and those things are good, and uncles and aunts, those are good. But what about others? We need other people in our life that can speak life into our kids. See, when people invest in my children, it just warms my heart. Absolutely warms my heart. We as a family, my wife and I, I'm going to say this as a, we are very intentional when it comes to other people's kids. We try very hard to invest, to come along, to ask questions. That's the village mentality, because I didn't have that growing up. And I want my kids to experience that. My daughter and I were talking the other day, my wife as well, we were talking about the people she feels like she could talk to about things. And hallelujah, amen, we made the list, amen. She said mom and dad. And then she said somebody else in this community. And I was just so touched by that. And so I told my daughter, I said, you know what? I think it'd be amazing if you told this person how you feel. And the cool thing was, my wife had this conversation with this person, and I had this conversation with the person yesterday, and I wanted to pump up this person's tires because I wanted to know the difference they've made in my daughter's life here in Edson. And this just, you could see this person was just, wow. It's a good thing. It warms our heart. I hope that warms your heart as well. See, we need our kids to connect with other people from the church. People we trust, people that can come alongside. And because of that, because of the scriptures, because of our partnership with our children, the Holy Spirit will continue to mold our kids. And here's the thing. See this putty in my hand? We've all played with putty, I think. If you haven't, you're missing out. See, putty is like our hearts. You look at this putty, and I can change this putty into any object I want, really. I can mold it. I can play with it. I can change its structure. I can change the way it looks. And I want us to consider this. Our children are like putty. And so are we. And the only thing that's going to change the shape of our heart is the massaging of the Holy Spirit. Is the massaging of God's word. That he would continue to help us become godly parents. To make godly choices. Because we must be careful in how we shape our kids. Because if we do not shape our children, you know who will shape our children? This world. People that are far from God will shape our children. The education system will shape our children. If we are not careful, we have to be vigilant. It takes strength, it takes skill, it takes humility. But boy, there's so much joy in all of this. There's so much joy and hope in all of this. And this direction that we have is from the scriptures. And so families and friends, are you willing to be putty? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead your life, to lead my life in humility so our kids can see that we don't have it all together, but we're willing to walk with them to show them who Christ is. And I know this is a heavy conversation today, and it's probably not going to get easier for the next 2 weeks, amen? But this conversation is for every single one of us, myself included. Our hope through this short series, that you are encouraged, that you're challenged, that you're inspired, that you are knowing full well that our God is big, he is good, and that we as a community want to come together to help raise our kids together so they can follow Jesus the rest of their lives. So I gave you one piece of homework, and I'll wrap up with this. And I apologize if I've gone long today. I asked you to ask your kids a hard question about your parenting, about your example of Jesus. And the second part of this homework is just for yourself and your own heart. And I want you to do this with Jesus. And perhaps you already know the answer. Are you making choices of integrity, of character in your own life today? And if you're not, and you know it, what will you do about it? Let's pray. Lord, this is a hard conversation, but I thank you that you give us much wisdom, you give us much grace, and I pray today that all of us that are parents, and for those who will be parents one day, that you'd give us the deep, deep wisdom that we need to help raise our kids in a godly manner. That in those times where we have dropped the ball, that we would not feel guilty or condemned. But we recognize because of you, we can have a fresh start. I pray that you prepare the hearts of parents and kids as they have a hard conversation perhaps, and there'll be learning in that, there'll be growth in that, there'll be lots of grace in that as well. Lord, I thank you that we have kids, and what a blessing they are, no matter where they are on the age spectrum. And for those who have older children that maybe need to talk about these things as well, I pray you plant those seeds, and it would happen as well. I pray for reconciliation. I pray for healing for any broken relationship between parents and kids. And lastly, Lord, I pray as parents that as we consider our characters, we consider our hearts, as we consider the choices we make publicly and privately, that, Lord, if there's something in our life today that we know is not honoring to you, that we know we're doing it just to please ourselves, that it's a contradictory of Scripture, and if we need to make that right, Father, I pray we do so. Again, not out of guilt, but out of the desire to want to honor you. Lord, thank you for each one today. Thank you for people watching online. I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.